Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I'm so glad that you've joined us this morning. Today's broadcast has been made possible through the generous contribution by Paul Gopal, and we'd like to say thank you for his donation. Please check us out at www.gncm.ca, short form for goodnewschristianministries.ca, where you can read our blogs, learn about our ministry, follow us on Twitter, and much, much more. Today, we're going to dive right in to one of the pinnacle passages of the Christian faith. But first, I want to set the context. Early on the morning of October 31st, 1517, a young man named Martin Luther stood on the steps of the Church of Wittenberg with a piece of paper in his hands, listing all of the lies that the church was teaching. And then the blows of his hammer would begin. As he nailed the 95 theses to the church door. And these blows of his hammer would be heard around the world. Now this event marked the beginning of what we would now call the Reformation. And it was all based on sola fide, which is Latin for faith alone. Well, the passage that captivated Martin Luther's imagination and which launched this moment in history is none other than Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of God. Well, friends, this passage is the one that we'll be looking at today. And the title of today's message is Saved by Grace. Saved by grace. And next week, we'll be looking at a follow-up message, which is saved for works. But today, we're looking at saved by grace. And there's three parts to today's broadcast. First, God's work for us. God's work in us. And then God's work through us. And in each of these sections, we're going to see first that we are accepted. And then we are secure. And lastly, that we are significant. Why? Well, because we are saved by grace through faith alone. Now, we're going to pause and get ready for today's broadcast by listening to Michael W. Smith in his classic song, Draw Me Close to You.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my kind.
Good news in the morning. Today, we're diving into one of the most important Bible passages, and that is Ephesians chapter 2. You are saved by grace through faith. Well, we're looking at three parts to this Ephesians 2 passage. God's work for us, which means we're accepted. God's work in us, which means that we are secure. And God's work through us, which means that we are significant. Let's start with God's work for us, which means we are accepted. God's work for us. Here I want to focus in on Ephesians 2, verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." In this little verse, we see that God does all of the work for us. So let's look at verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith." This is so different, friends, from other religions. It means God does all of the work for us, and all we do is have faith in his finished work on the cross. But let me give a few examples. How is someone saved in the Hindu faith? Well, salvation for a Hindu is called moksha. And moksha is when an enlightened human being is freed from the cycle of life and death. And there are four ways to moksha. The first is the way of action, which involves carrying out certain religious ceremonies. The second is the way of knowledge, which requires using your mind and philosophy to come to a complete comprehension of the universe. The third is the way of devotion, whereby salvation is reached through acts of worship. And the fourth is the royal road, which is the use of meditation and yoga techniques. And this is the method of reaching salvation typically used by wandering monks. Each of these ways to salvation in Hinduism requires that a person do things. What about the Buddhist method of salvation? Let's look at that for a moment. For a Buddhist, salvation is all about reaching nirvana. And nirvana is a transcendental, blissful, spiritual state of nothingness. Now, to reach nirvana, you must follow the Noble Eightfold Path, which includes the right understanding, the right resolve, the right speech, right action, right occupation, right effort, right contemplation, and right meditation. Those are the eight parts of salvation, otherwise known as nirvana. And so the person is doing all the work. And we even see salvation through human effort in Mormonism. We hear in the Book of Mormon, in 2 Nephi, chapter 25, verse 23, this phrase, "We know that it is by grace that we are saved, comma, after all we can do." Friends, the Christian message stands in direct opposition to Hinduism, Buddhism, and even Mormonism. It says there is nothing that you can add to the finished work of the cross. And that's why Ephesians 2 boldly says that you are saved through sheer faith. Faith in what? Paul says in Acts, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." So God does all of the work. That's why Christ screamed out, "It is finished," on the cross. And this means for us, friends, that we are accepted. We are accepted. You see, if you have to do the work to save yourself, you're always wondering, am I good enough? Am I good enough to please God? Have I done enough good works? Have I joined enough church committees? Have I helped enough neighbors? And you're always, always wondering if God really accepts you. But you see, he doesn't accept you based on your merits. He accepts you surely based upon the merit of Christ's blood. And we are accepted. And how do I know that? It's by backing up in chapter 2. We see that before accepting that God does all of the work in the cross, that we are, according to verse 1 of chapter 2, that we are dead in our transgressions, that we are disobedient in verses 2 and 3, that we are depraved in verse 3b, and we are doomed in verse 3. But, here's the big but, here's how we know we're accepted when we place our faith in God's work alone. It all comes in at verse 4. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, makes us alive with Christ when we were previously dead in transgressions." And God raises us up with Christ, and he seats us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And so he loves us, and he exalts us, and then he keeps us in perfect peace. Friends, you are accepted in God when you have faith in his cross alone. All right, we're going to pause and listen to a famous song, namely "In Christ Alone" by the Gettys. And when we come back, we're going to look at God's work in us, which means that we're secure, and God's work through us, which means that we are significant.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. hear you say that I'm afraid. You are my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace, help me find a way, bring me back to you.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. We've been looking at a famous passage, namely Ephesians chapter 2. It is by grace that you are saved. Now, a few moments ago, we looked at God's work for us, which meant that we are accepted in Him. Now I want us to look at God's work in us, which means that we are secure in Him. How secure are you? You know, one of the ways that you can gauge whether or not you're secure is the extent to which you need to boast. I find that when I'm secure in Christ, I can be humble and rest in Him. But there are other moments where I go out for coffee with someone important, and suddenly I start boasting in my accomplishments, in my education. It happened just recently, and I came away from the coffee realizing that all of this boasting about all that I had done in my life really stemmed from an insecurity. Well, if we appreciate that Christ has done all the work for us and in us, we need not boast any longer in ourselves. And in fact, this is what the passage of today tells us. It says in verse 8, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. We just looked at that. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Not by works, so that no one can boast. I want you to think for a moment about what you boast. Parents, do you boast about your children that they're just so holy or so smart? Churchgoer, do you boast about the number of committees you serve on? We are told in the scripture that Christ did all the work, and Paul tells us that if we're going to boast, we must boast only in the cross of Christ. And when we boast only in him, we are secure because Christ did all the work in us. He does all the work. And that's why the word gift is used in verse 8. It says, this salvation is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God. You know, I used to think if I preach a little bit better, God will love me more. If I pray a little harder, maybe my salvation will be more secure. But in truth, it was all finished on the cross. And I am secure in Christ's love. Now, gifts are interesting things. All you need to do when faced with a gift is to simply accept it. But indeed, this requires humility. It requires humility to embrace a gift. Sometimes people give me an extravagant gift, and I find in my spirit, if I'm truly honest, sometimes I say, I'm not good enough for that gift. Or if I'm rebellious, I don't need that gift. Or if I don't like the gift, I'll say, cool, now I can re-gift that gift. Or if I'm anxious, I think, oh, now I owe that person back a gift. It takes true peace of mind and tranquility and security to simply receive and embrace a gift. And that's what God is asking you today. Can you do this, listener? If I told you that Jesus Christ died on an old rugged cross, and all you need to do for salvation is to receive this gift, believe that you need it, but also trust that you are worthy of it and that you can do nothing to earn it and you need not repay it. It is a gift. Receive it. Salvation is a gift that no man may boast in his works. And then I think you will find that you'll feel very secure in the love of Christ. All right, we are on the home stretch now. We've looked at God's work for us, which makes us accepted in him. Then God's work in us, which leads to security in him. We want to close off with God's work through us, which leads to our significance in him. We see God's work in us in Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In this closing part of Ephesians 2, we see that, yes, God does all the saving work. We are saved by sheer grace. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But we are saved for something. We're saved for good works. And that, friend, speaks to our significance in Christ. Now, just something interesting to point out in verse 10, when it says we are God's workmanship, the NLT translates it beautifully as we are God's masterpiece. You see, the Greek word translated workmanship is poema, from which we derive our English word poem. And so the idea at play here in Greek is we are God's poem. He is writing poetry through our very lives. You know, towards the end of John Stott's time as a theological student at Ridley Hall, Cambridge, the Reverend Paul Gidson retired as principal, and a portrait of him was unveiled. Now, in expressing his thanks, he paid a well-deserved compliment to the artist. He said that in the future, he believed people looking at the picture would not ask, who is the man in the portrait, but rather, who painted that portrait? And so it is with our very lives, friends. Folks should be reading us because we might be the only Bible they are reading. And they should be able to say, wow, who wrote that story? Who painted that portrait? Who is living in that person that fills them with such joy? And the glory will always go back to God. And so we are Christ's workmanship. And so we have significance, friends. We are a poem. We live our lives as poetry in motion. So we are God's workmanship, and we are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That means we have significance, and it means he's going to work through us and empower us to do good works. And what good works? They are ones which God prepared in advance for us to do. This, my friends, gives us great significance. It means that there's a destiny to every person's life. And listener, if you're feeling despondent today, feeling worthless or insignificant, I want to tell you, first of all, you're no accident. God created you on purpose and with a purpose. And he has a destiny for you. He has plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future, says the book of Jeremiah. And so God wants you to receive his gift of salvation today through sheer faith. And then he wants you to boast solely in that gift. And then he wants you to live out your life using your gifts for his glory. You see, John Calvin once wrote, "It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone." James 2 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead." Listener, I want you to know that God did all the work for you, and so you are accepted in him. And then Christ did all the work in you, and so you are secure in him. But do not be complacent today. God wants to do lots of work through you, and so you are significant in him. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are unlike any other God. You say, "Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Come to me, I will do all the work on an old, rugged tree. I will delight in nailing my son to that cross. Will you receive my gift?" And so I pray for the listener, first of all, who has not yet placed their sheer faith in the cross. They've always thought they had to work a little harder, give a little more money in the plate, help a little more people. And today I pray they'd hear loud and clear that all they need do is place their faith in you, for it is by grace they are saved through faith. So I pray that person would be accepted into your kingdom this day. I pray for the person, Lord, who struggles with security. They're always measuring themselves and wondering, are they good enough? Are they pretty enough? Are they smart enough? And would they find their security in you alone? Would they just receive your gift, no strings attached? Because it's through a gift, not by works, so that no one can boast. And lastly, I pray for every listener that they would be empowered today by the word, that they are God's poetry, God's workmanship, and they've been created to do good works. They're not saved by good works, but they're saved for good works. Would they go forward with boldness, for they are significant. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.